I'm Jeff Phelps. Tom Withers in for Andy Baskin today. Dan Menigan behind the glass, door open, ready to go. And Meredith takes your phone calls at 216-474-0092.
No rookies in this room.
No rookies in this room. Kind of wish I was a rookie again. That'd be fun.
I hear you.
That would be fun. The rookies are here. Everybody's looking at Shedeur Sanders. I'm not even going to say looking at Dylan Gabriel because I want to talk about him in a second. The most overlooked guy here, I think, and the one that just intrigues me the most, but we'll get into that in a second. Mike Martz, the former head coach of the Rams, the coordinator of the greatest show on turf, a guy who had Kurt Warner, who came from stocking shelves and went to the Hall of Fame, guy who had Mark Bulger, who was a sixth-round pick, cut by the Saints, picked up by the Rams, and they turned him into a pretty decent quarterback.
Yeah, he was solid.
Mike knows how to deal with quarterbacks. He was on the show earlier in the week, and we asked him about the Browns situation. You have four quarterbacks. How do you deal with four quarterbacks? You have four different types of quarterbacks. You have two rookies. You have a guy who's 40 and has had success in the league and then has had limited success since he left his first team. And then you have a guy who was pretty good, kind of, for the Steelers, but not good enough that they didn't sign two free agents to come in to replace him. And then he asked for a trade, and that's Kenny Pickett. We asked Mike Martz about the Browns quarterback situation, and his answer made Dan and I look up at each other and go, huh, here it is.
Pickett, to me, is a diamond on that roster. He's the guy I'd like to coach, to be honest with you. I loved him coming out. And I don't know what they're trying to do on offense up in Pittsburgh. There's not an indictment on them or anything else like that. But he didn't fit what they were trying to do. There's a lot of things I'd like to say about it, but I can't. I won't say it. But I just think this guy's a diamond in the rough, ready to go. I really do. And he's that kind of a Mark Bulger, Warner, Trent Green, those kind of guys that have been banged around the league a little bit, got their nose bloodied. Now they're ready to go. Those are the kinds of guys that, you know, they get their hair in the back of their neck up, and you're not going to have many more chances, so he knows he's got to get it done.
Kenny Pickett, diamond in the rough, Tom Withers.
Reclamation project. Let's get Mike Martz back on the phone and have him talk about what he feels about the Steelers offense. I like that.
That was a little tease right there. Don't want to go there.
Yeah, you know, I kind of agree with him, you know, to a point in that, you know, Kenny Pickett was a first-round draft pick by a pretty damn good team in this league, right?
20th overall.
So, yeah. So first
quarterback off the board in what was a bad quarterback
year,
draft.
Right. So there is something there. He really hasn't gotten the opportunity per se, right? I think 15 starts, is it, I think, total?
Well, he has a 15-10 record as a starter.
I'm sorry, 15 wins. That's right. Yeah. And 25 starts.
Tom, I keep looking at that and thinking, okay, I know the Steelers are pretty good, but you were the quarterback of record in 25 games, and you were 15-10.
Right. And don't forget, too, in this chessboard of moves that the Browns have made in the offseason, that was the first one that they made, right?
Yeah.
Was to sign Kenny Pickett.
So, which kind of came out of nowhere when, you know, they trade DTR and swap picks.
Yeah.
You got him for basically nothing.
Exactly, yeah.
But it was like, really? That came out of nowhere, and because it came out of nowhere, to me, it wasn't just accidental, Tom. It wasn't
I'm with you.
The Eagles didn't call and say, we'd like to have DTR.
Right.
I can't imagine that happened.
Right. Tells you a lot about how many people in that building obviously felt about Kenny. So, you know, I'm with Martz in that I love these kinds of stories, right? I mean, we've seen them in all areas of sports, haven't we, Jeff? Where a guy has been kind of kicked to the curb, comes back. Hey,
given up on Tom maybe before he had a chance to really find himself.
And I'll tell you, the other end of the spectrum is, you know, Joe Flacco had a similar situation towards the end of his career, right? Kind of discarded and then brought back out. And so, you know, it's a similar story, what have you. But, you know, Jeff, you and I have talked about this before. I think the best case scenario for the Browns, given all that they have to deal with this year, right? In what is a year where they need to find out who their quarterback is going forward. Kenny Pickett playing well in training camp, exhibition season, proving that he can be the starter would be about the best case scenario for this team, right? It would allow you to groom these rookies, not have to force feed them into action. Now, listen, that doesn't mean, though, that you don't want to see Shedeur and Dylan Gabriel play well in the exhibition season. You got Joe Flacco standing there as a failsafe and as a default, should things go sideways because they know they can quickly here, whether it's an injury or what have you. So, but I'm with Martz. I'd love to see Kenny Pickett play well here.
To me, Tom, he's he's the best option here to play well. And that's no disrespect to Joe Flacco. Joe's 40. And he's not the future here. We know that. He might be the present. But if Pickett can win this job, and I do think he has to win it, I think he might be the guy that they're hoping wins it. He might be number one on their fake depth chart right now.
I would think so, too. 1-1-A. I think he and Flacco are almost.
I would think so.
Even Steven going in, yeah.
But if Pickett can play competent quarterback and be the starter, that allows you to develop the guys. And maybe you get really lucky and find a guy who can be your quarterback for 3 to 5 years. And if you don't like what you see in the draft next year, if you're not in a position to get a young quarterback next year who you'd think is the guy you want and you can't get him for whatever reason, you might have a starting quarterback for a while. And then you can see what happens with Gabriel and Sanders.
Jeff, great point. Buys you a little time as well, right?
Well, yeah.
It allows you, it just takes all the urgency out of everything.
I don't think Flacco buys you the time.
I'm with you.
I wonder this, and this I can't get out of my head. Joe can throw the football. He'll probably throw the football well when he's 50. You know, I mean, he can throw it.
He's going to look great this summer.
But we know who Joe is. Since leaving Baltimore, Joe has had success in really just one spot and one spot only. And it was here.
Magical month.
And it was. And it was so much fun. And he was Joe Flacco, but it worked. The interceptions didn't jump up and bite him until the playoff game.
At the wrong possible time.
Exactly. Right? And can he duplicate that? I don't know. You just called it a magical month.
Yeah.
I think it was.
And then some, yeah.
And I wonder if it can continue. And if he's sitting here and he's your backup, that's fine. And Tom, I'll be honest. You drafted a quarterback in the third and the fifth. I don't want one of those guys to be my backup unless they happen to look great.
They can't be, Jeff. Not, you know what I mean? Like
I don't think Sanders can. I think there's an outside chance Gabriel could.
Maybe so.
Outside chance.
Before I forget, props to Shedeur Sanders for hosting that community event earlier this week in East Cleveland where the fire at the apartments there,
yeah.
You know, kind of did it under the radar, if you will.
He's done a good job with a lot
really
of that
has.
Stuff.
He really has. You know, I commend him for that. I wanted to make sure that I brought that up. I thought that was, especially because, you know, as a media member, you know, we are constantly inundated with emails from PR firms, et cetera. You know, he did this on his own volition. This was something that was important to him, and he did. And obviously some news crews showed up there and saw him there and what have you.
Right.
But it wasn't something that he was, you know, waving the flag about doing. He did it on his own, and I think that says a lot about him. I think Mike Hall Jr. was with him there as well, you know, a Cleveland kid. But, you know, Shedeur's done everything right to this point, and I know that there are going to be fans that are going to clamor to see him out there in week one because they feel like we got to see as much as we can out of him right away to know whether he's the guy or not.
Explain why that's not a good idea.
It's not a good idea, Jeff, for a lot of reasons. You know, number one, you know, they didn't play an offense at Colorado that suits well to a quick transition to the NFL, right? I mean, their offense at Colorado was find number 12 and throw him the ball. And Deion kept it very simplified for him. On top of that, there are so many things that go into being an NFL quarterback. I was talking to you guys during the break. The Netflix documentary that now called Quarterback, which focuses this year on Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins. They do a really nice job in an episode about what it takes to just, you know, pull off one play and all the intricacies that there are in running an NFL offense. And I'm not saying that Shedeur Sanders couldn't do that and is not, you know, adaptable and a quick learner and all that kind of thing. But you don't want to deal with that right now when you're in this situation with this Browns team. You want to take your time with that kid. You want to groom him, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, if he could be the future, and that would be fine. But the future doesn't need to start on September 12th or whatever that opener is.
Not when you have three other quarterbacks who could possibly play for you. I think you have to take Shedeur and absolutely maximize his possibility for success.
I think that's exactly the way they're looking at it, Jeff.
And if they can do that, Tom, then they give him a real chance to see if he can be a quarterback in the NFL. If you rush him out there right now and it doesn't go well, you might as well pack his bags and send him to Toronto.
If you don't have to.
Have him go play in Canada.
Right. If you don't have to. Sadly, Jeff, we've seen, though, right? I mean, the rash of injuries we had a couple years ago. I mean, DTR wound up out there making a start against the Baltimore Ravens with, like, an hour to prepare, which was about as unfair as you could get to a kid who ended up then playing a couple games, getting hurt, getting his career sidetracked. Who knows where he's going to end up going and whether he's going to be able to play or not. So you don't want to rush what you don't have to rush.
Do you have to rush Dylan Gabriel, or is he NFL ready? Tom, that to me is one big question that the Browns need to answer coming up in training camp. And I look at UCF. He was 3 years at UCF, and he was really good. And you think, although he was injured for one of them, he played just a couple of games that year. And I can understand if somebody said, well, it was at Central Florida. Well, then he went to Oklahoma.
By the way, don't poo-poo Central Florida. They play a schedule now.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I got not. I got somebody could say, it's Central Florida. You can't say, well, it was Oklahoma. It was Oklahoma. And then he went to Oregon, and it was Oregon.
Yeah.
And he was really good.
He was really good.
Took care of the football, threw it well, ran the ball well, showed great feet. Lance Reisland, who contributes to Cleveland.com.
Does a nice job.
I've done stuff with Lance, doing some high school games. Talked to Lance about it. He thinks Dylan Gabriel has a real chance to do something, even though he really didn't look as well as everybody thought he would during all the mini camps and everything else. I wonder, Tom, if that guy is just kind of laying in the weeds and can go into camp and say, hey, remember when Russell Wilson was a third-round pick? And you signed Matt Flynn to that big money?
Hmm.
Yeah, well, take a look.
I think
watch this.
Yeah, I think that's how the Browns view him, right? They, like you said before, a little diamond in the rough. I mean, Dylan Gabriel kind of falls into that category in my mind. You know, I think back to that. Now, granted, the Buckeyes did not blitz him the first time they played him last year, which was a whole different deal when you get to the Rose Bowl and you get the big lead or what have you. But, I mean, he picked apart that OSU secondary when they played up in Eugene. He was terrific. I like his kind of his moxie in the pocket, if you will. I know that people have made a big deal about his size, and that's a factor. But we've seen
you can't hide it.
But you mentioned Russell Wilson. I mean, we've seen undersized guys have huge success in this league. So again, plenty of options. We'll go back to the Martz comment about Pickett. I'd love to see it happen. I think that would be an ideal situation for the Browns to see him excel this summer.
And you never know. Guy who was a first-round pick and has had some moments in the league and probably is thinking, here's my chance. Because if I don't go win this job, I'm a career backup.
Yeah, and as Mart said before, it might be my last chance.
Yeah, and I think it absolutely is. We're going to talk more Browns coming up in the noon hour. Daniel Afusi from ESPN covers the Browns. He's the beat writer for ESPN. He's going to join us at 12:20 and anxious to talk to Daniel. Guardians are back at it tonight. After a disappointing first half, a lot of disappointing individual performances, and yet if you look at the standings and look at baseball, you think, maybe this could work.
Still a chance.
Yep, still a chance. Yes, we're going to talk in Guardians next. Baskin and Phelps, Tom's in for Andy.